Be it transformed by the renewing of your minds. Welcome to Moments with the Queen.
All right, Samuel, please lead us in an opening prayer. Just say a word of prayer concerning today's session and everyone who is here connected and everyone who would listen via the podcast platform as God leads you.
All right. Good evening, everyone. I quickly, Father, we thank you for tonight. We bless your name. We give you praise for this privilege to sit under you, to receive from you. We ask that you release your mighty presence in our midst, that whatever we're going to be doing tonight will become productive in our lives. We ask, Lord, that you speak through the vessel you have prepared to use for us. And may your word come mightily. Let everything that will be spoken tonight gain effect in our life. And above all, Lord, you give us the grace to apply whatever we are going to learn tonight in order to live a productive life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Samuel. All right, so I'm just going to give us a brief rundown of what we are to expect. Aside questions that would come in from the audience, we have just about six questions that we'll be asking the Smart Money Woman. She's already here. Jessica Gogo is already here. I'm very sure somebody can probably already spot her. And it's so exciting to have her in our midst. One of the ground rules that I will just put out is anybody who, you know, maybe in the course of the class, there's something you want to say, please use the chat section. All right, just type it on the group and I will be going through the messages on the group and I would also, you know, see when, okay, I can say this person has something to say, or you can just say I have something to say and I would moderate, you know, the session. There's going to be a time whereby it would be, you know, an open mic and anyone can ask Jessica questions, as the case may be. We'll just have that access like that. All right, so just so we can have order, by the grace of God, this class should be done. We should be done with the class in about an hour. So we're starting 7:43, but I'm saying a maximum of 9 o'clock with everybody's agreement. That's from like 8 to 9. So a maximum of 9 o'clock we should be done. And that depends on the questions that would come. If the questions are not lengthy, certainly we wouldn't linger up until that time. Also, I would want one person, I'm going to just pick somebody at random. If it's something you can do, please let us know, to see how you can translate some of the points that Jessica would be stating on the group, so that some persons that might just, you know, want to just go through the chat, you know, would be able to catch up with whatever it is that is being dropped, you know, during this session. Now, to those persons who will be listening via the podcast platform, of course, please, we have a community on Telegram and it's so easy to access. All you have to do is search for Moments with the Queen community, Queen being K-W-E-E-N. As you may not know, my name is Queen Sisan and I am going to be hosting the very excellent, the very beautiful Jessica Ogbogbo. I am going to be introducing our guest right now, reading her profile, but before I do that, I want to say thank you to every single person who is currently connected here. I assure you, you're not wasting your time. So what I'm going to say is, if you can devote this few minutes, you know, I like to say that the way you carry something has its impact, because you could hear a word that word is for you and it will just brisk past if you're not giving it attention. So if you're busy, now is the time to wrap up whatever it is that you're doing. Don't multitask. Don't just be here for being here sake. Please actually make the most out of this moment. We have a woman who is a great, like, she's got this money hack, right? So it's good that we see how we can maximize this time. I want people to throw questions at Jessica that she will be like, I came to this community yesterday, they won't finish me, literally. All right, so it's going to be really exciting. I know it's going to be a blessing. I know it will be a blessing even for persons who are going to be listening via the podcast platform.
It's Moments with the Queen.
All right, so who is Jessica Ogbogbo in brief? I would just say a bit so we get to know her. Okay, I think I got like a few pictures. Any need to send her pictures on, I will send it after reading the bio, maybe while she starts, you know, her first, when she starts talking. So Jessica Agbogbo is the programs officer at the SML Financial Services, which is a growing fintech that helps young individuals gain a better approach to wealth creation through financial literacy, savings, and investments. And she also doubles as the COO at SML Bakes and Events Limited. She's a graduate from the Department of Banking and Finance with over 3 years' experience in personal finance management, administration, business consulting and developing, budget management, projects, and people management. And she's also a graduate from Christam Cakes Academy and Cider Culinary Academy. She's a baker as well. So as a personal finance coach, she organizes trainings, workshops, and webinars on site and online for proper financial management that would enhance growth and sustainability of individuals and businesses. As someone who is passionate about everyone's financial well-being, she helps individuals, startups, and SMEs gain a better approach to budgeting, savings, investment, and wealth creation. She has successfully managed 200 plus young Nigerians who have saved over 6 million naira in the last 3 years. She has worked and is still working with the Clever Minds Educational Foundation, a non-profit organization which provides quality education at little or no cost in indigent communities in Warri Delta State. She has handled several projects such as the Boxes of Hope Project, Count Every Child, the Give Back Party, amongst others. She's the convener of the Smart Money Workshop. This is a yearly finance workshop that holds in December. Jessica Agbogbo is a smart money woman. So this is a bit about her bio. Personally, I have met Jessica in person, and while I have not been opportune to spend so much time with her, the little time I spent with her, her impact just left a lingering memory in my heart. Jessica is a giver. I saw her volunteering for the Little Genius Championship, one of the biggest spelling bees currently running in Delta State. And that's Jessica for you. You see her when it comes to volunteering, she's always at the forefront. And when you see this woman handling money, that's the thing. I know she's going to be like, how does she know this? Well, I made inquiries and I asked, and I've been seeing what you've been doing in Delta State. And I'm like, we cannot have this kind of person here. You know, I think the community has a lot to gain, and persons who listen to the Moments with the Queen podcast have a lot to gain from you. I see what you're doing with teenagers. A lot of teenagers are becoming smart, are saving. Teenagers now even have so much money. Because I used to say that if I know the things I know now as a teenager, I should have had a lot of money, right? So I'm going to allow Jessica to take the floor right now, please, with a standing ovation that is going to be happening, like, you know, in our minds, and with a round of applause and all the bands, and Telegram needs to work on all of these things. But hey, please let us welcome Jessica Agbogbo, as the next voice you'll be hearing would be hers. Welcome, ma'am.
Hi. Good evening, ma'am. Good evening, everyone. Can we hear me?
Yes, totally. I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I mean, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Moments with the Queen community, and everyone that is online right now that will be reading through the community messages and also listening to the podcast later on. It's my pleasure. I mean, whenever I get to call, I get a call, you know, to just come and talk about finance, it's something that actually just intrigues me. I'm always excited about it. It's always a pleasure for me, you know, and it's even more exciting to see and to know that the conversations around money is coming up. People are beginning to accept and want to talk about it, because I mean, for a very long time, a lot of people have shied away from conversations around money. And the Africa that we're in, it's not even our fault that growing up, issues about money, finance, and all that were conversations that never happened in our homes. I mean, before we even just go ahead, if in your house, like while you were growing up, there was a time where when your parents were teaching you different values, do this, don't do that, do that, don't do this. I'm not so sure if there was an actual conversation about finance, money management, whether as a lady or as a guy. I'm not so sure. It is a topic that is almost alien in every African home. But it's good to see that we're having a lot more conversations around money. And I'm excited for the conversation of tonight. I'm excited for the questions that will be coming. I mean, Queen Susan said, I mean, questions that when I leave tonight, I'll have a story to tell by people that there was this community I was yesterday, and it was amazing. So I'm looking forward to having a very insightful and beautiful conversation tonight in, about, and around money. Thank you very much, Quincita.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Like, you see, as I'm just smiling, I'm just blushing. Please, let's just get right on to it, okay? So that we can actually maximize time. Our very first question, and it's so important because I know that how a person sees affects everything. One person can be seeing something, another person is seeing another thing, and their actions will differ. So, Jessica Ogbobo, how do you see money?
Okay, great. And please, like Queen Susan said before the intro and all of that, please, this is not the time to multitask, because at the end of the day, you would only be busy but not productive. So please, I mean, just give us a few more minutes of your time, yeah, so that you can make the most of what is going to be happening on here tonight. Yes. I mean, I would like to start by saying this. I believe that we're all Christians here, or let's just say majority are Christians here. And when God created the heavens and the earth, and when God created, had to make man in his own image and likeness, the Bible recorded that God created man. The Bible did not record that God created a rich man or a poor man, or he created some rich or he created some poor. There was no record of that in the Bible. That goes to tell you that when we're created in the beginning, we've been provided with equal opportunities. I like to say equal opportunities because, I mean, some persons might be saying, I mean, some persons were born with a silver spoon. Some persons were born into the Otedola family. Some persons were born into the Elumelu family. Some persons were born into the Adeleke family. Me, that was just born into the Gbobo family. I mean, you can't compare us. Truth is, whether you were born into Elon Musk's family or Bill Gates' family, we were all born with equal opportunities. It is left for you as an individual to gravitationally advance to creating wealth. I mean, you've seen persons that were born into really wealthy families not turn out so well. I mean, Davido is another example because he's from a very wealthy family, so he could decide to not even do anything again with his life. But the truth is, in little or no time, he will fall into poverty. Poverty is not so far-fetched, you understand? So as humans, we have all been given equal opportunities for us to gravitationally advance towards making money and creating wealth. It is with this understanding that the wealthy people become wealthier. And it is lack of this understanding that the poor ones become poorer. Okay, so I see money as a spirit. Yes, I see money as a spirit. And it is one spirit that works really, really well with the law of attraction. Yes, I see money as a spirit. So money has emotions, like the way we have as humans, like the way we feel, like the way we repel humans, maybe if we are offended or something. That is also how money is. And it is with the understanding of money, beyond it being just a paper currency or coins or an electronic currency, that you would be able to understand how money works and how to attract it to yourself. If you still think of money as just a means of exchange, or as just something that is a paper currency, or something that is an electronic currency, or anyhow you think about it, your thought about money is very limited, and the opportunities that you would have to amassing wealth would also be limited. So I see money as a spirit, yes, that can be attracted, that can be drawn, that reacts and relates with humans the same way humans relate. So you see, as humans, if someone offends you or keeps offending you or doesn't treat you nicely, you tend to go far from that person or just keep your distance or stay away. Interestingly, that is also how money works. So I see money as a spirit that when treated nicely, when treated with respect and understanding the emotions around it, it will definitely come to you and you will be able to attract it. The opportunities to attracting it on an even larger level will come to you easily. So that's how I see money. Yeah.
All right. Very amazing. Really insightful. Entirely different. I don't know if I've heard of. I know that the whole spirit and okay, so Emmanuel, please, can I nominate that you put back? I don't know if I'm nominating that Emmanuel, please put this most of the points that Jessica will be putting out on the group. Can you do this? And yes, Emmanuel is asking if the class will be available for replay. It's going to be put out on our podcast, you know, subsequently, so that others can actually benefit. Because I know, even this definition that Jessica just gave, after she's given, like, there's a way I'm feeling. I don't even know how to explain. Like, there's this, I don't know how to explain, right? It's well, but the first thing that I'm thinking about is, how have I actually been treating money? Like, how have I been treating money? It's well. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that insightful perspective, ma'am. Thank you for once again bringing lights, because that's what this meeting is about. Okay, now, understanding that money is a spirit, money has emotions, because we as human beings, we're a spirit. So I know people, like personally, people used to tell me, oh, you are good with relationships in terms of handling people. And I want to say, okay, great, I think I've aced that. But I don't know if others, for me, I really have not aced this money thing. I believe that people have money beliefs. For a greater part of my life, I was told money responds to needs. Money responds to needs. So because of this, I always feel like I can stay and I will not have money, you know, and whenever I have a need, sure, money will appear for me. So even if I'm living my life on zero account, whenever there is a need, money will sure come. So please, can you address I've openly shared my own money belief that I started finding out that it was one of the reasons why I was finding it difficult to keep money, because I believe that money is a messenger. So there's no need to store it. Anytime I need it, it will appear. Right? So can you please share some money beliefs that are limiting and some that are empowering? I don't know if you understand or if you got what I have asked.
Okay, yes, I think I quite understand the question. And like you just rightly shared, the truth is, it is how you think of money and relate with money, that is how it will be to you. And like you just said, you had always thought about money as a messenger, and money only answered to you as that. Money only answers to you as a messenger. So, and you see, for these really wealthy guys, they don't think of it as that. With wealth comes influence, and that dominion that was talked about in the Bible at the beginning, that we're going to have dominion over the earth and all of that. You cannot have that dominion when there's no money or when you're not broke. So a thought belief like that, that oh, money will only answer, or money only answers to needs, is a very limiting belief. Because I mean, is it only going to be when there are needs? What if there is just something else that isn't necessarily a need, but there's just how you should have some level of money to keep you afloat? There's something called net worth and all of that. So what means is, for that kind of person that has that belief, the net worth will always be zero, because there'll be no asset to your name. there will be no property or anything to your name. It's just calling for money when you need it and it will answer to you. Another very limiting belief, and you see this aspect that we're just going to talk about, is just talking about our we as financial personalities and our financial personalities, you understand? Another very limiting belief or practice that stuck with us growing up, as funny as it may be, it has affected a lot of our minds and our thoughts towards money. So growing up, yeah, I'm sure a lot of us, a whole lot of us were glued to Nollywood, African Magic, and we have always seen pictorial representations or video representations of anybody that is making wealth or anybody that attempts to amass wealth. They do it either through rituals or kidnapping or something very, very illegal or very evil vice, you know, in their movies. Now, for some of us, we've grown with the mentality that there is no wealthy person that is actually doing something that is legal. There are some persons, there are some individuals, adults, that you tell, oh, so there's this thing, if you do it like this and like this and like that, you will be able to amass wealth. They'll be like, no, every single wealthy person, the Dangotes, the this, the that, they are all illegal people. They are all, in fact, they are ritualists. Oh, in fact, they are kidnappers. Oh, in fact, they are this. With a money belief like that, the only way money will come to that kind of person is only when that person actually does that same thing that they believe is bringing money to those people. So if you believe that it's ritual that is making everybody rich in the world, until you yourself decide to do that ritual, you will not amass wealth, except you change your belief about money. If you think it's kidnapping or it has to be illegal before you can amass wealth, no matter how legal the things that you would engage in, until you yourself engages in illegal activities, you will not be able to amass the kind of wealth that you've seen those people amass, because that is your belief. And money will answer to you in that way. For some of us growing up, as far to like when we go to church and all of that, we were made to believe, or we were just brought up to know that the smaller monies are what you drop as offerings. So if you go to church with your parents, for example, from way back, they will give you maybe 5 naira, 10 naira to drop as offering. Then maybe as the older one, they might not put maybe more than 100 naira or so as offering. So the highest that you would give as offering growing up is 10 naira, 5 naira. For a lot of us, till this day, we struggle to give more than a certain amount, even as offering up until today. Some of us still battle to drop 100 naira for offering. It is not solely your fault. It is because of the money belief that stopped. Incidents that happened when you were growing up, experiences that you had, the kind of community that you grew up or that you came from. If you actually grew up from a place of abundance, the money mindset is different than when you grew up from a place of lack. It is actually very different. So some of these things stick with us unconsciously, and it's a problem for us that we are not even aware of it. So secondly, when we now get to be aware of it, you now make a conscious decision to either break it and adopt new money beliefs, the ones that would allow money to come to you. So I've shared a few of those limiting ones. Some actually strong and positive money beliefs that I think you should even adopt. One of which I have adopted in recent times, from when I started my journey as a personal finance manager, is the belief of confessing and speaking money affirmations. Yes, I believe that for every amount of money that I want to control in this life, I will speak it to come to pass. I will speak it into existence. If I can speak it, it will come. And because I had a good relationship with money and I intentionally build a good relationship with money, when it comes, it will last. It's because it loves my company and it will like to stay around me. It would even like to go and call forth its brothers and its sisters and its kind. The wealthy ones that understand some of these mysteries about amassing wealth, if you are anywhere close to them, you would see that they don't treat money anyhow. They are not the ones that go to club and burn down millions and billions of naira on really irrelevant things. They are not the ones that do that. So affirmations, I first of all speak it. I speak it, I conceive it in my mind, and then I speak it, and I keep speaking it. I mean, with speaking it, it doesn't happen just one time, no. Because what affirmations do is this. The more you say it, because as you're saying it, you are exuding energy and vibrations. The more you say it, it begins to, after a certain period, it conforms with your mind and your entire being. And that energy and that vibration that you are exuding into the universe would work in line with it and make it happen to you. So, I mean, when it has to do with money, there are some tiny, tiny, tiny little practices like this that we have to do as individuals. And it's a whole different game, different from what we used to hear or what we knew before now. These are some things that the really wealthy ones, and mind you, I'm not saying rich ones, because there's a difference between being rich and being wealthy. The really wealthy ones know these secrets. They practice it, and then it comes to them. So I'm saying to myself every morning when I wake up, I live in abundance. I control, even when there is no like physical money in my bag or in the bank account or anything, I speak it. As I go out today, money, I call you first. You will come to me. You will be available to me. There will be more than enough money for me to spend. And these are some little practices that I do, and then it happens. So some of this, I mean, think through. Because for us individuals, it's very different. Some money beliefs that you know, examine yourself, that you know that has been limiting to you from when you've been growing up till now. Write all the negative money beliefs. And I'm not sure it's all negative. There might be some positive ones as well that you picked while growing up. Check those ones as well. Ditch the negative ones. And put more effort on the positive ones, okay? And yes, money will answer to you not only as a messenger, it will answer to you not only when you need it, but it will answer to you abundantly. So yes, I think that answers your question.
All right. So while you were speaking, you know, this is, I think you're just really shattering ceilings. I hope I'm not the only one feeling this way. Please, you could just engage with the community, drop comments, leave your chats, leave your thoughts, and I will definitely use them as my talk point when next I'm coming in to ask the smart money woman, Jessica Ogbogbo, questions. And maybe someone just joined in, you just connected. We're still looking at money matters, or we are talking about money. And Jessica has really been insightful. She shared with us her perspective, how she sees money, and she shared with us some limiting money beliefs and some empowering money beliefs. And recently I started this whole affirmation thing. And yes, one of my affirmations has got to do with the amount of money I look towards earning for, you know, the resources that I do and the things that I put out there. And I'm just like, oh, wow, I never knew that this was actually as impactful. I've been doing it and I believe it. And, you know, because my own, that affirmation is still like something that I'm still looking to walk into. But whenever I do it, I know that I feel great. So I'm thinking that if I can do it for the future, I can even start doing it for now. I can start doing it for the month of May. I can start doing it for the month of, you know, June. And I think it's really exciting. So while you were speaking, something came to my heart. Now, if you listen to the likes of Pastor Sam Adeyemi, when he speaks about wealth or he speaks about multiplying wealth, he always says something that, you know, some people believe in I receive. Just like when you speak about affirmations, some people think these things are all motivations, even though I don't think that is what it is actually. There is great power in saying something to become. But some people think these things are affirmations. And he has once said that, how can you say you want to make money when you are not selling something? And I know I've heard Steve Harris talk about mastering the business of your talent, understanding that first of all, whatever it is that you are doing, you are a businessman. See anything, say first of all, you must understand that you are a businessman. So they always bring back the business side of it. So, but there are some persons who say, according to my personality, I'm not a salesperson. I'm not selling, you know, so I'm not the type of person that you will see something uploaded on my status, or I'm not necessarily the one to loud my business. So please, can you address this? Is it that, you know, because if you look at some of these wealthy businessmen in Nigeria that you have mentioned now, the Tony Olumelus and the Otedolas and the Adelekes and, you know, the Folorunsho Alakijas for the women and, you know, a host of others, the personalities are different. For Tony Olumelu, you can see how he is really involved, really outgoing. Now, we cannot tell his personality transitions and how he started and where he currently is at. Well, Tedola, most times you will just see him maybe coming out once or twice. His children are usually the ones louding him, daddy did this, daddy did that, you know. But you will not necessarily see him saying that, okay, this is where, oh, let's okay talk about Aliko Dangote. Aliko Dangote is making giant strides, great moves. But I don't know if he has ever come out to say, I sell cement, to come and buy. I don't even know if I've ever seen a very professional advert of Dangote cement, but he's selling. Every time I'm looking at that, when strength matters, think Dangote, and I'm like, man, that's some awesome copy. So my question is, how do we balance this? People who are introverts, because they're losing money. Some people say they even know how to ask somebody when they even need money. You know, so how do they even want to sell their product? Are there ways to cheat this personality? Or is it something that the more you work on it, the better? Because even people like Grant Cardone talk about it, say 10 times action, 10 times action, sales, 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 sales. And some people don't even have a product that they are selling. So can you please address this? Must you sell a product to make money? Because, you know, some person say, I'm called into ministry. I'm not a business person. I used to say that for the longest time, that business is not my thing. I would rather just do things for free, please, you know. So please, can you address this? Because I know it's still tinted towards the belief system and all of that. I pray God gives you wisdom to address all of this. I've said so much in short time.
Okay, so I would I liked, because I think there was first a question on whether you must sell a product or sell a, or you know, just must you sell a product? And then there was another thing relating to the billionaires, so I'll just address them one after the other. So first of all, you don't necessarily need to sell a product. I mean, that's the only way. No, when it has to do with money and amassing it, all you have to do is create value. So your value doesn't necessarily mean that it must be product sales or be a salesperson. Okay, for a product, no. So in creating value, you can either sell a product, which is one of the ways, or you render a service. Now, check, every single thing in this world revolves around these two. People are either selling a product or they are rendering services and they are getting paid for it. The bottom line here is that you should give value, create value. And that is how there can be an exchange. Okay. If you are already selling a product and you are an introverted person, the truth is this: business and being an introvert don't go hand in hand. There are some really big salespeople you see on the internet today that are in real life, they are introverts. Yes. But when it comes to their business, they have to loud it. Because the truth is this: is the person that shouts that we will hear. So it now happens that when you shout and people hear, when they now come to you, you should have value to give them. Okay? If there are two children and there's a parent, it is the one that is crying that the parents will be will tend to ask, what is the problem? Is there a problem? How can I help you? You know? If there's a crowd, it is the person that shouts that gets the attention of everybody. So now that you have gotten the attention of people, make sure that there is value that you have to provide. You are either, see, in if you want to think of how to even determine whether you sell a product or you render a service, look around you. What is the problem that is imminent around you that you can provide a solution to? What is the problem? Because it is in answering that question that will now birth whether you need to create a product or modify an already existing product or even market an already existing product or you render a service. So what is around me that actually is a problem, is a very big problem that needs a solution? So you cannot be you cannot be a business person, and it might be difficult for you at the beginning, but please make it a point of duty to work on it. Personally, you can be introverted, but when it has to do with your business, I'm begging you, you have to shout about it. If I was quiet and I didn't have any results or track record, I'm pretty sure I will not be talking to you right now, because I probably would not have met Quincy, would not have heard about me or anything. I could decide to be, after this call, I can decide to go back inside my room and not come out again till tomorrow. The introvert part of you still continues if you are not so much of a social person, but gradually you will come out of it. Now, like I said, it doesn't necessarily have to be a product alone, okay? Arranging a service also goes for the people that are entrepreneurs. I'm not talking about entrepreneurs, I'm talking about entrepreneurs. So entrepreneurs are people that don't necessarily need to start something, but they will work with other people's vision. They are the ones that work 9 to 5. They are the ones that work for people's companies. Okay, so as an individual, if you are an entrepreneur, how can you keep creating value for that company that you work with? Because if you don't even create value, when it's time to downsize, you'll be the first person that will come to mind. You'll be the first person that will come to mind. When it's time for promotion, if you are the one that creates non-stop value, back-to-back value, you'll be the first person that comes to mind as well. So it is, we're answering the question of what's the imminent problem around me that I can produce or provide a solution for. Because once you do, people will pay you for it. And that's how money comes. Think of Dangote. Think of Tony Elumelu. These people, if you check to like the base, the actual base and the foundation of all their businesses, you will see that they are actually providing solutions to problems that people are faced with daily. And that's why their money is coming as consistent and as long as it is, because they are providing solutions to problems that people are faced with daily. I was talking to a community that was last month, yes, and I was sharing with them some key industries in the world that if you decide to look at or invest money in, it's a sure banker for you. Why? Because these are necessities, and these industries were drawn from the Bible, yes. So you see that there are deep secrets to wealth creation in the Bible that we've been blinded towards. One of it is real estate, for example, and housing. Real estate and housing. I'll use Tony Elumelu, for example. One of Tony Elumelu's ventures is hospitality, which is also housing. Every single day, tell me there's a day that there is no guest in Transcorp Hilton Abuja or the other subsidiary that they have one in Calabar, and then they have Aura by Transcorp. Tell me there's no day that there will be no patronage. Think about Dangote. Dangote started with cement. At the time he did, there was no cement company that was making as much waves. And even if there were, it came and did it differently. And cement is people use every day. Whether you know it or not, people actually buy cement every day because people are building stuff every day. And when it had to even expand and go into other subsidiaries, think about all the things that Dangote, all the products that Dangote has. There are things that people buy every day. There's sugar, there's salt, there's spaghetti, there's noodles. People use these things every day. So you see that there's a steady and a very consistent flow of income from solving people's daily problems. There's a consistent flow of income from solving people's daily problems. So as an individual, ask yourself, as you drop and deassociate yourself with these limiting money beliefs, what is an imminent problem around me that I can solve? And to make it even easier for you, if it's something that you can solve on a daily basis, then your flow of income would be even, it will be more consistent. Do you get? So I don't know if there's any other part of the question that I have not touched. I'm trying to even remember all of what you said, but yes.
Hi, my name is Queen Sisan, and I am your host for the Moments with the Queen show. Have you ever heard about self-leadership? Would you like to learn about things you can do that would enable the giant in you emerge, like your personality, developing good communication skills, dealing with low self-esteem, having the ability to talk to anybody, anytime, anywhere? Have you ever felt that you could be better than where you currently are? Then stick with me. I will tell you how I transformed from the insecure, incoherent child I was through faith, purpose, capacity building, and mind transformation to the person I am becoming. Remember, transformation is in action. See you soon.
I think you've actually answered like the crux of it. I think you have actually answered the crux of it. So just moving on before we take the fastest fingers. I don't know. There's so much. I've just buttoned. There's so much in my heart, right? Okay. So how do we balance people who say their giftings don't necessarily involve them? You know, they don't know how to make money using their gifts. So let's say I'm a singer. I don't want to sing to make money out of singing. I want to sing to worship God. Or I just enjoy to just, you know, entertain people with my voice. So you see singer that is like singing to high heavens and going home and drinking Gary. Is it that, you know, this person has not understood value creation? Or is it that this person should look at business not from, you know, sometimes passion is, okay, so I think my question is, should your passion always lead towards you turning it into a business, or for you to actually make money, you should begin to see business less from just a passionate point of view? Is there a way to balance this? I don't know I don't know if I've asked these questions clearly.
Okay. I'll try and answer it in a way that everybody would also understand. So, I mean, passion, there's only an extent that passion can take you in life and in destiny. Okay. And it gets to a point where you need profit or money. Now, it is a different thing if, as a singer, you have been called to, oh, you just want to sing, you just want to bless lives, you don't want to do the business of music. So here's the thing: for every talent, for every gift, for every skill that we acquire, there's a business of it. So you are a lawyer, there's a business of being a lawyer. You are a doctor, there's a business of being in the medical field, besides just probably working in an hospital and getting paid. So you are a singer, there's a business of music. Okay, so if you are not interested in the business of music as a singer, I mean, let's use that example. If you are not interested in the business of music, then there must be something that gives you a stream of income that can balance your passion. Otherwise, you would only continue with your passion to a point where there's no money, you get frustrated, and you will give up. We hear business, some business owners, when you ask them, I mean, what led you, or what motivates you in your business, and this and that, oh, it's my passion. My passion is what motivates me. This. The truth is, if we take away the profit you are making from your business right now, tell me how far your passion can take you. I mean, for whatever it is that you are doing right now, you're a voiceover artist, you are an OAP or whatever, let's take the money part and just continue to do it for free because it's your passion. So you see that as much as we even want to try to shy away from, oh, I'm not doing it how we make money, oh, I'm not doing it. If you want to get involved in the business of that thing, be all out and ready to put in the work to get in the business of it and make money off it. If you are not interested in the business of it, then you should have a different source of income that funds that passion. Otherwise, the passion will die. See, passion, when it is not funded, you will get frustrated and it will die. I'm saying it again. When I learned the skill of baking, I could decide to just continue baking and be baking for free. Oh, I want to, because yes, it's my dream to actually help and train young girls who want to learn the skill of baking and cake designing for a very a little or no cost. And the reason for wanting to do that is because personally, I learned the skill of baking at little or no cost from the very best in the game. Now, that was because somebody invested in me. I can decide to now say, now that I am here and I have a baking company, all I want to do is be training people for free. But I'm going to buy materials to do that training. I'm going to pay for a space. There's going to be other running costs that comes with it. If I don't have something that brings money into my pocket, for how long do you think that passion will be sustained? So it's only a matter of time before that passion actually dies. So whatever it is that you are doing right now, if you are interested to go into the business of it, great. I mean, we'll not talk about ways for you to charge, you know, do your service charge, you know, and all of that. How much it will cost you to get to a particular location, your logistics, your transport cost, if something that needs you to be very mobile. You know, and all of that. But if you are doing it solely for passion, there still has to be something that funds that passion. There has to be something that funds that passion.
Hi, Ma'am Jessica. Is this my network? Can I be heard and can she still be heard? Because all of a sudden I stopped hearing her.
I hear you more, but I can hear you. Good evening, okay. Ma'am.
Okay, Nelly, good evening. I don't know if I'm the only one. Okay, let's... I don't know why... Money woman is... Why our network is getting stable? Can I just get feedback, please? Just... Describe what's going on with you in one word. Let me hear.
I'm sorry. Can we hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. We lost you for a bit. Are you back now, ma'am? Okay. All right. So let's wait for her network to be a bit more stable, and while that is happening. Let me hear from one or two persons. Okay, she's back. Madam Jessica, are you back?
Yes, I'm here now. I'm sorry.
Okay, great. All right, okay, so let's go on then. Okay, so you...
So yes, I mean... Okay.
You're responding. Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was saying before the break that if you are deciding to do it solely for just passion, there has to be a source of funding, and that source of funding will come from your other streams of income, which you should have. But if there are no other sources of income, then you have to consider the business of that thing. You have to consider the business of that thing. Otherwise, it will only last for a short time. You will get frustrated and then you will give up. Okay, so yes, that's it. Passion can only take you to a certain extent. You actually need money.
Amazing. Thank you so much. You need money. And when you said that, it just sounds like how a car needs fuel, right? Just like if you say you won't put fuel in a car, it will park. Well, all right. So I was saying just before she returned, let's have two persons describe their experience in one word. How do you feel? What has the session been like for you? Let's hear from Jimo. Jimo, let's hear from you. Emitrad, welcome. Thank you so much for joining in.
All right.
Okay.
Can I be heard? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes. Like, you know, there is a way you must have heard something before. There is another way that it can be said to you that it will give a like new meaning to it.
Yes.
It's like there are some things that okay, I might have heard someplace, but I just left it somewhere. But this class has really helped me to just help me just represent those informations that I had before in a new way. And this way that she's even I'm explaining it is much more practical. It's much more practical. Mm-hmm. And I can really relate with the music part too.
Amazing. All right, so let's hear from Daniel. Daniel, I think you've been here a while. I hope Daniel is connected and you can speak. Daniel, if you can speak, just unmute. If you can't, unmute and mute back. So okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
What I would say is that like tonight's teaching has really exposed me to some certain things I've been ignoring, like I've neglected for a very long time, things that I thought is normal and should be a normal belief. So I sincerely thank God for this meeting tonight.
All right. All right.
Can anyone hear anyone? Because I can't really hear anyone talking.
Oh dear. Oh, okay. So I have been calling out for Narcissi. I didn't know I was muted. I'm so sorry, please. Narcissi, are you here? Okay, I think Narcissi is also having issues with her network. All right, so while we wait for Narcissi to get back in and then we can do the fastest fingers, let's take questions. If you have personal questions, there's something pressing or maybe something came to your heart while Jessica was speaking and you want to ask her directly, now is the time to do that. All right? Now is the time to do that. What are the questions in your heart? I want us to go to practical ways that we can actually invest, practical ways to make money, practical ways to multiply money. But while we wrap up with that, I want to hear people's your own question. What's that question about money in your heart that you want to ask Jessica? The floor is yours. It's now open. Let me find out. Does anybody have any question? If you have a question, just flag the mute and unmute. Like, just tap on your mute and unmute and then mute. Let me see. Okay, same. Joshua has a question. Does anybody else have a question? Just unmute and then mute back and I'll call you. Does anybody else have a question? All right, Joshua, let's hear you.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I hope that my voice is clear.
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. So, thank you very much for this period here. It's been interesting. I needed this. Well, I have a question that's troubled me for a while. In recent times, I've noticed that as my income increases, my expenses multiply. So there are things that I have prayed to God that I want to get to, so at least have it come.
Hi Joshua, can you just be a bit audible, please? Like, just
okay. Hold on, let's, yes. Let me just make my visit here.
All right. Are you good to go now? Okay, so while we are waiting for Joshua, Samuel asks a question on the group. He says, is there a certain kind of business a believer should venture into? For example,
sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Are you here now?
Yes, is it better?
Yes, it's better. Okay, so we'll pause on Samuel's question. Let's hear from Joshua and then we'll go back to Samuel.
Okay, so the question is, I've had this problem in recent times. My expenses just multiply as my income multiplies by many times sometimes. And it's been something I've bothered about. I'm in places where I prayed to God that I should be 2 years ago. Yet I am not any better. I don't eat better. I don't live better. My expenses just multiplied with it. In fact, more than before, so I have to work a lot more. I don't know if you can provide me practical advice on how to make sure that this does not happen, that the more you earn, the more you have to spend, and making sure that you, while also not neglecting the fact that you're supposed to be more of a blessing to people than before because you earn and take more responsibilities. How is it possible to find a way to balance that and keep everything in check while also doing more? So thank you. I hope that my question is clear.
Okay, yes, I think I understood the question. So, I mean, the simple thing to do is this. As God blesses you, as you start to earn money, I mean, that's where the whole concept of financial management now comes into play, okay? And the concept of financial management revolves around smart budgeting, saving, and investing that money or whatever it is that you are earning. You get, so I mean, I always say when it has to do with budgeting, there are two sides on the lever. In order for you to stay balanced on this lever of life or of your finance, you either increase your income or reduce your expense. It does not necessarily mean that as your income increases, your expense should follow suit and increase. That's a mistake that we tend to make as individuals. Oh, when I was earning 50K, my expense was around 40K. So now that I'm earning 100K, my expense should get to like 80,000 naira or 90,000 naira. No. There are some things that we tend to spend money on that are irrelevant. And I say that with my full chest, they are irrelevant. So as an individual that is earning money, that is making money, once you start making money, you should consider budgeting, because budgeting gives you total control of your finances. Budgeting gives you total control of your finances. You are able to see how your money is coming in and where your money is going to. Now, where your money is going to, that's where you can now categorize your needs, which are your necessities, your wants, what you may not necessarily need to survive, you could do without them, and then your financial goals. It is under your financial goals that you now have things like, that you can have things like settling a debt, if you have debt, saving to invest, or investing money. That is also where. And I mean, this part is relative, you know, it depends on your values as an individual. For some persons, they put charity and giving to, like, giving under their needs. Some people put it under their wants. Some people add it under their financial goals. But when it has to do with you lending a helping hand or you being a cheerful giver, you also plan for that. The day I realized that wealthy people do this, that was when I started understanding that there were probably times when you were in school or you needed some amount of money and you reached out to that very wealthy uncle or auntie that you have, and their response to you was that, oh, I don't have it right now, but if you could wait till next week or next month at social time, I will have the money to give to you. It was later I was understanding that for most of them, because I mean, the human in you think that, this person that has a lot of money, how can this man tell me that he does not? If any other person tells me they don't have money, I'll believe. But not you. You that you are earning 100K, you that you are earning 250K, you that you are earning 300K, how can you tell me that you don't have money? But the truth is that because you are staying disciplined to your budget, if the amount that you have budgeted for charity and giving and helping others for this month is exhausted, you have to wait till the next month when you would have your earnings again and you would have a fresh budget for giving and helping people. If you don't stay disciplined to your budget, your money goes where it likes. Because that's the thing about money too. Like I was telling you, that money is a spirit. It doesn't like to be in its elements, in its purest element. Money doesn't like to be kept. Money is not meant to be kept, to be hoarded. Mm-mm. It likes to move freely. That is why for people that hoard it, it doesn't come freely to them. For people that hoard money, it doesn't come freely to them. I mean, then an example of the servants in the parable of the talents in the Bible, the one that did not do anything with his money. You saw what happened to him because he hoarded it. So you have to take control and say, oh, even I want to be a philanthropist. My goal is to be a philanthropist in life. Even the biggest of philanthropists, they have a budget. They do their philanthropy on a budget. Otherwise, they will go bankrupt. Otherwise, all that it is that you are earning, you'll be living from paycheck to paycheck. So a budget helps you to stay in line and to stay in tune. Gradually, as your income is expanding, because you are well aware of your or what your needs are, your wants are, you know where you can make an increase. So probably when you were earning 200K, you were staying in a self-contained apartment, or a one-bedroom apartment. So now you are earning, say, 2 million naira monthly. You can now say, okay, when the self-contained apartment is no longer meeting your needs, becoming too tight, you need more space and all that, you can also say, okay, let's move to a two-bedroom apartment, you know. But not necessarily because your income increases today, your expense must follow suit and increase. No. So to stay balanced on this level of your finance, you increase your income or you reduce your expense. If you think you are not earning enough to cover for what you are spending, check what you are spending and cut out the irrelevant things from there, or you make it a point of duty to increase your income. I hope I answered your question, Samuel.
Joshua.
Yes, you did. Thank you very much. That's very helpful. Thank you.
All right, excellent. Okay, quickly, we'll just move over to Samuel. And because of time, because remember that we said we want to see how we can wrap this up as quickly as possible. If you have any further questions, please just drop it on the group and I'll read it out. So Samuel is asking, and I'll read Samuel and Jimo's question so you can just respond to it together. Samuel is saying, is there a certain kind of business a believer should venture into, or maybe should not venture into, but he said should venture into? For example, talking about housing, is it proper for a believer to own a hotel? That's Samuel's question. And Jimo is asking that, where do we draw the line between being confident about money versus working under the influence of money? We have very spiritual persons connected here today. So where do we draw the line between being confident about money versus working under the influence of mammon? And this is a very, very, very beautiful question. So over to you, ma'am.
Okay, so I'll answer Samuel's question first. There's a certain kind of business a believer should not or should venture into, for example. Okay, great. Now, I would like to establish this fact, first of all, that as believers, I have seen that a lot of us have come to limit ourselves to wealth creation. Let me remind you that it is the will of God that we prosper and we have good success. And it is also this same God that created us, that giveth us power to create wealth. So he has the ability to give you power to create wealth. But some of us have thought about this whole thing that, like, oh no, I just want to be in my own lane and, you know, just live in my two bedroom quietly, drive one small car like this, and, you know, just very quiet lifestyle. And that's why some of us tend to judge some really wealthy men of God that have a really high net worth. It is a very, very myopic and limiting mindset to think that, oh, let me suffer in earth and I will enjoy in heaven. I mean, Jesus has suffered for our sake, for us to enjoy. So please, you cannot come and be playing assistant Jesus again. Don't limit yourself thinking that wealth creation is for unbelievers. Wealth creation is for everybody. Like I said when I started this session, we have equal opportunities to gravitationally advance towards creating wealth. Are there certain kind of businesses that Christians should not do? Yes. As a believer, and according to your belief, if you see that entering into that business venture or the activities of that business venture is such that go in line with your practices or with your doctrine, you can decide not to do it. But for housing, now, I'll give an example. It is not improper for a believer to own a hotel. It is very normal, because housing is a problem. It's a major problem that we even have over here in Africa. And owning a hotel is a solution to housing problem, just so you know. And when I was speaking, I said something that in the Bible, there are eight. Because of time, I might not be able to explain them very well for us, but I might just drop them. And it's found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, from verse 7 to 10. And I pray that as you read that scripture, the Holy Spirit will give you insight. Because there's a difference between reading the Bible and reading the lines and reading the words. The Bible was written by inspiration. So reading it also takes inspiration to understand and to be able to unlock the deep secrets of the Bible. It's not just by reading the words that was written there. Deuteronomy 8, 7 to 10 has the eight powerful industries in this world embedded in that scripture. The first, and I'm calling it no particular order here, but just take note of these eight. There's food, that's the first one. There's land, good land. The first one is food. The second one is land, good land. The third one is mineral resources. The fourth one is water. So I said there's food, there's good land, there's mineral resources, there's water, there's agriculture, 5. There's houses and real estate, 6. There's people, which is human resource. People, human resource, that's 7. And then the last one is transportation, 8. These are eight powerful industries in this world that if you venture into any or all, either as a startup or you go in as an investor or you partner with somebody who's already in it, trust me, you're going to hit it and amass wealth on a different level. So housing is one of it, and this is where hotel comes in. I know of 5-star hotels. Yes, Samuel, I know of 5-star hotels that have standards. So what makes you different from an unbeliever is the standard that you put in your business. Okay, so there are standards, and because you set them so high and you are disciplined to following them, the person, it will even attract those kind of people to you. Do you know that there are some hotels that even if Dangote is on a trip to a particular location where it doesn't have a building, it would not stay in some certain kind of hotels if it's in a particular location. Or if Tony Lumelu is in a particular location where, I mean, it needs to be in an hotel. There are some hotels that it will enter and there are some that it will not enter. Do you think Tony Lumelu or the Dangotes or Alakija would lodge in an hotel where the ambience from the gates, that there are already people that are smoking, they are already called girls that are standing everywhere, left, right, and center? No, because I'm sure that all those are some of the concerns that believers have towards owning hotels, and oh, people would sin and all. The truth is, even if it is not an hotel, if you are a landlord and you have a house, a normal residential apartment, and you rent that house out to tenants, are you in control of what the tenants do inside the apartment that they've rented? No, but the most that you can do is set standards to say, oh, in this apartment, please, no late night movement, we lock the gate at XYZ time, there's no smoking here, or there's no this or that. There are some little things that you have control over, but the truth is that to the very latter, you don't have, to the tiniest of things that will happen in that apartment, you don't have control over it. So if as a believer you can be a landlord and have a house, a residential apartment or service apartments that people can rent, so what makes hotel different? What makes it different? So I know of five-star hotels that, I mean, for those of us that attend like churches that have really large congregation, for example, the church I attend a Redeemed Church where we have to invite guest speakers, guest ministers and guest speakers, yes, from all over the world to our church for programs and all of that. When these people come to town, are they going to stay in my house? Or are they going to stay in the pastor's house? Definitely not. We're going to put them in hotels. So if you still think that as a believer, you should not own a hotel, then I don't think as a believer you should even lodge in an hotel or stay in an hotel if you go to a particular location. You should probably look for a fellow believer's house and stay there. So there are a lot of limiting beliefs that we blind ourselves with as believers to now say, oh, I'm a believer, I cannot do this, so I cannot do that. See, as much as you want to be heavenly ready, you have to be earthly relevant. Okay, and these are the things that the unbelievers know. They are venturing into these business ventures at our own detriment, because we keep saying, oh, I'm a believer, I cannot go do this, I'm a believer, I can't do that, I'm a believer, I can't do this. So many limiting beliefs. So you see a pastor driving a Range Rover, a G-Wagon 2023, or a Rolls Royce 2023 model, and you are saying, why is a pastor driving a Rolls Royce 2023? I don't get. So release all of those beliefs, deassociate yourself with them, and begin to accept new money beliefs. The other question said, because we're running out of time, where do we draw the line between being confident about money versus working under the influence of mammon? Even the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil, and anything that you give too much credibility, too much relevance, too much attention becomes a god over you. So as much as we're building good relationships with money, we're affirming on a stead how we want our financial situations to become, we're conquering the spirit of money. So that money will answer to you. As Christians and as believers, again, we have been given dominion over everything. Living thing, non-living thing, things under the earth, on top of the earth, and everywhere, we have been given dominion over it. So don't give so much, don't give money so much. If the spirit of money conquers you, it will have its influence over you. But when you conquer the spirit of money, You call it and it answers to you. You don't make it a god over you. And the truth is, when you have even the right financial management processes and habits in place, you don't pay so much attention to money every time, because you have systems and structures that makes money come to you regularly. You're not so blinded, or you're not always thinking about, because see, that's the truth. As much as Jessica is the personal finance girl and also always talking about money and telling people how to be better with money, there are times when I'm not even thinking about money. I have to think about other things, because I mean, life is not just life doesn't revolve around money alone. It doesn't revolve around it alone. But we're saying that you are self-aware of the fact that you have the ability to control the spirit of money and have dominion over the spirit of money and conquer the spirit of money, so that when you conquer it, it will come to you as you want it, and not allowing the spirit of money to conquer you. So yeah, that's it.
Have you ever listened to the Moments with the Queen podcast? Would you love to be part of a community committed to growth and development through faith, capacity building, and mind transformation? Are you ready to give your all to move from whatever stage you are now into a better phase of life? Then be a part of something awesome. The Moments with the Queen community is a community geared towards your lifting, so in the end, you can lift others. We are all a work in progress. Join us on Facebook and Instagram at Moments with the Queen Community. Remember, transformation is in action.
All right, amazing. Thank you so much. I don't know, Jimo, has your question been answered? All right, so Jimo is saying thank you so much. I think he's in a better place to type than to speak. And just to add to that, when you can no longer obey God when it regards your finances, that's also a major red flag. That's, I don't know, okay, just so that we can digest, of course, we are calling it a wrap. The concluding thoughts will be Ms. Jessica sharing with us. She has already given us those 8, which I put down on the group, 8 very important sectors for us to look into right now. But I want us to conclude with some practical ways that we can actually invest money. We were not able to really touch it, but she spoke about budgeting. She spoke about saving, although not in detail, but I would want her to wrap up with that. But I want to, Narcissi, in 1 minute, please, can you just call out the fastest fingers so that we can just drive up again? Please, I want to assure us that at most 9:05, we would all be calling it a wrap, please. So please, Narcissi, as quickly as possible, let's do the fastest finger so we give the remaining 5 minutes to Jessica to wrap it up with investments, plans or ideas, suggestions, and maybe safe ways to also build up saving culture, just as God will give her grace to just hit it here and there, and you know, we can take out our time personally to build up on them. All right, Narcissi, please, I hope you're here now.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Miss Jessica, once again for your time and sharing from your nuggets, from your words of wisdom. So the fastest fingers now, we have MTN. MTN 7380-6792-1226-99507. I come again, 7380-6792-1226-99507. Who got this one, please? If you got it, indicate in the group so we move on. Oh, Sammy did. Congratulations, Sammy. Sorry, Jimo. Okay, you can pay attention to the glow now. This is glow 35077-75097-63900. I come again, 35077-75097. 0705096390 for glue. Okay, is there anyone that got glue? Okay, Sammy is typing. Let me not say Sammy got it again. Anyone, or should I come again? Glow 3507775097639 00. Oh, you can just unmute.
Yes, I just typed it. All right, I think that's fine. Anybody who hasn't gotten it after now, we just put it on the group, and whoever is lucky would finally get it. Because of time, let's just move ahead. Thank you so much, Jessica. Thank you so much. It's been, I don't even know the words. It's been, you know how you eat food and it's like you are full, your tummy is full, right? But I believe that there's so much work that needs to be done. It's when we put in work from all that we have learned in today's session, that's where the rubber meets the road. I don't want anybody that is part of this meeting to leave the same. When we have 5K, 10K, 15K, 20K, understanding now that, oh, money is a mind, there's a spirit and all of that and all of that. What are certain things that we can do with money that would help us to multiply money? That's like investment plans and ideas for investments, you know. What are certain things that one can actually invest in?
Okay, great. Yes, when it has to do with money, so there are three M's. There's making money, there's managing money, and there's multiplying money. So somehow we've been able to touch on making money and managing money. Making money is when we talked about creating value earlier. Sell a product, render a service, provide solution to people's problem, you get paid for it. Managing money is when I shared budgeting. So there's a lot that goes into budgeting. I have a free video on YouTube where I explain it in detail, so much details, and then there's a free budgeting template in the caption for you to use as well. On YouTube, it's Jessica Ogbobo. You can just see the resource material there. Now, when it has to do with multiplying money, this is where you now have smart savings and smart investments. I like to call it smart savings and smart investment because that's what makes it different from a regular savings account or a regular investor, somebody that just wants to invest. You get, we are in the 22nd century, like I like to call it, and if you're not doing things smartly, especially in times like this where there's inflation and a lot of things eating and stealing up our money, if you don't do things smartly and handle your finances smartly, I'm so sorry what is going to happen to you. So with smart savings, which is one way that you can manage your money as well, I always recommend for the savings to be smart, you have to save in accounts or platforms that retain the value of your money. Okay? I will give an illustration. For regular commercial banks, if you put 5,000 naira at the beginning of the month and you don't touch it till the end of the month, best believe you are not going to have 5,000 naira in that account at the end of the month. Am I right? That's because there will probably be ATM charge, maintenance charge, SMS charge, and all the charges. And the money would have, there will be so much deductions on the account. And also, what that 5,000 naira would have been worth at the beginning of the month is not what it will be worth at the end of the month. Moreover, you don't even have 5K to your name again. Probably because of the charges, what you have, there will be like 4-5. You see, the value of that money was not retained. There was actually some loss in that process. Have you saved? Yes. But was that smart? No. So consider smart savings such that at the end of your savings period or when you need to liquidate that savings account, the value of your money is retained. That's what makes it smart. So if you put 5K at the beginning of the period, at the time you are going to be liquidating that savings account, whatever reason it was for you to save in the first place, would you still be able to carry out that plan or achieve that goal with the money that you have, because the money still has its value, or would the money have lost its value at that time? So ask yourself a question like that before you save money in any platform whatsoever. And when it has to do with investment, that's a big game and a whole game entirely, because that is what changes the dynamics of your finance. Remember I said money doesn't like to be hoarded. Okay, so you have to let it go for it to go and do work and bring back more of its kind. That's the simple concept of investment, really. Putting money into businesses and systems, putting it to work so that it will bring back a certain return at a specified future date. Okay, and in 2023, there are so many investment options that you can consider. Some of them are the 8 that I have listed for you earlier. Yes. So if you're not venturing into any of those 8 as a startup, like you want to start from the scratch, you can invest in them. I mentioned agriculture among the 8. You could decide to invest in agriculture, because whether you like it or not, till Jesus Christ will come, even in from the time of Jesus, agriculture was a thing and is still a thing. Until the second coming, it will continue to be a thing. So that's an industry that you can consider investing in. So are there farmers around you, or do you have access to a farmers community? You can ask them for their investment proposals. You can look at it, and if the results is looking good, depending on your, because when you have to do with investment, there are certain questions that you must first of all answer. And in answering them, you have to seek financial education on investment. So you have to be well aware. Get investment education first. Understand the basics of investment before you even decide to want to venture into it. Okay, so let's assume you answered those questions and you know the A's and B's and C's of investing, and you're ready to get into it. So there's agriculture, like I just said. So you ask for their proposal, look at it. If it's something that you like to work with, you could also seek the advice of a financial manager and expert to look at it too with you and explain in details things that you don't also understand. They'll explain it for you. So you're willing to do, you get on it. Something else that is not among the 8, but is a very hot cake right now, is stocks. For those of you that did not know, you probably might have heard about shares and not stocks, but stocks, shares, they mean the same thing. It is a unit of ownership in another business. That's what it means. Simply, a stock is a unit of ownership in another business, and it's quantified in it is valued in amounts. Yes, it is valued in amount, but it's a unit of ownership in another business. So if Quincy Sam has a unit of ownership in my business, that means she owns a stock and she's a stockholder or a shareholder in my business. And what the reward of stockholding or shareholding is one, you get paid dividend as a shareholder. Yes, and it depends on how the company decides to pay their dividends. That's the reward. That's one of the rewards for shareholding. You get paid dividend on the unit of shares or stocks that you own in that company. Secondly, there is also, if you don't get paid dividend, there is a high potential for capital appreciation. So the amount that stock will be valued at when you bought it, and at the point where you probably want to sell it or as it grows, will be different, because there's a high growth potential for stocks. And you can actually get into the stock market. It is much more easier now than it has ever been in this life. Prior to this time, people didn't have access to this information and these opportunities. But we have fintech platforms that have made it very, very easy. If you want to trade international stocks, you can use platforms like Bamboo. Bamboo is spelled B-A-M-B-O-O, like the regular bamboo as in bamboo stick. Yes. So for Bamboo, you can trade international stocks there. You can also trade on Passfolio. Passfolio is Pass, P-A-S-S, and then Folio, as in portfolio, kind of folio, yes, Passfolio. You can trade international stocks there. for Nigerian stocks. You can trade Nigerian stocks on an app called Trove. T-R-O-V-E. Now, I'm only recommending apps that I have tried and it is tested and trusted. These people are regulated by the relevant financial authorities in Nigeria. CBN, NDIC, SEC, Security and Exchange Commission, and all of that. So there's nothing to be worried about, whether is my money safe or is my money not safe, because that is another belief. Some persons still don't believe that they can put money in anything that is related to technology and make money from it. So I've talked about Bamboo, I've talked about Passfolio, I've talked about Trove as platforms where you can trade both international and Nigerian stocks. So you can have access to stocks like Transcorp, Dangote Sugar. So the same Dangote, yes, you can have stocks with them. Wema Bank and some of these other banks, MTN, you know, and all of that, you can buy stocks with them. For international stocks, you can own stocks and shares with Apple, Coca-Cola, Netflix. It's not just to be subscribing these people. Be a shareholder and also make money off them as well. Google, Alphabet Incorporated, and a lot, even as far to Crocs. Yes, there are so many companies that you would have access to and buy their stocks. And the interesting thing about stock ownership is this: you don't necessarily need to buy the entire thing. If you cannot afford it, you can buy a unit of it. So if this is one unit, it can still be, if you cannot afford that same one unit, you can be able to buy a fraction of it. Okay, you can be able to buy a fraction of it as much as you can afford on the Bamboo app, as little as $10. Yeah, as little as $10. With $10, you can be a stockholder, and $10 is less than 6,000 naira right now. So as little as $10, you can buy on the Trove app. With as little as, I think on the Trove app, is about $5 or so, you can be a stockholder or a shareholder with these companies that I've mentioned, and many more companies when you go on and check these apps and all of that. So stocks is something that, because this is you owning, having ownership in companies that have high growth potential, and they will continually be in existence. So the truth is, as long as those companies are in existence, your investment with them and your wealth, your stream of income from them is also still in existence. So I talked about stocks just now, and then the other 8 that I've shared with you as well are different ways that you can consider, different businesses that you can consider investing. And don't forget to also invest, if you have a business too, as a business owner, don't forget to invest in your own business. You can be the first investor of your own business. So don't be too quick to be looking for outsiders or other businesses that you can pull money into, or, you know, and just pump your money into. There's also you. So you're a graphic designer, you are a product developer. Think about how you can invest in your own self and in your own business as well, you know, and yes, a host of others that I've mentioned, you can also consider. So thank you very much, because I see that we are way, way, way out of time.
Wow, thank you. Thank you very much, man. You shared quite a lot about investment. And personally, this is one part I was looking forward to in this meeting. Like, let's please appreciate Miss Jessica for tonight. Like, we can unmute and say thank you once again for being here with us and, you know, honoring us with your presence. Please, let's say thank you to her as we wrap up the class. Can I be heard, please? Can anyone hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I said we should tell Miss Jessica thank you for tonight as we wrap up.
I just want to especially say thank you so much, Jessica. Mm-hmm.
I know that, like, I'm going to, so she spoke about one of our YouTube videos. I would see the much that as will be relevant, and I will share them here. And I would also see if I can attach them as links to the podcast as well for anyone that would want to follow it afterwards. But amidst all, she's a wealth of knowledge. I'm even while she said talking about the conversation on investment, I was like, is this not even going to be another class? You know, it's a lot of things, but I just mm-hmm. want to say thank you so much. Thank you so much for honoring this invitation. Thank you so much for how you have shed light. What we always say in this community is transformation is in action. If I live here, I still don't have a budget for this month, or I don't have a budget for next month, or I still don't have plans regarding my finances, we have just come here to waste time. So where the rubber meets the road is what is the action point that you're going to take out. So I would love to see who that person is that has, you know how they say goals, when you are setting them, they have to be smart, specific, measurable, you know, attainable. I've forgotten the arrow. I know T is time bound. You know, you don't need to set smart goals. So it would be great if you can add in the comment section, what are you going to do differently with the knowledge that you have? What's the new money belief you are putting out? What is the new thing that you're going to do? Joshua spoke about expenses and, you know, income chasing each other, even when income keeps increasing. What would you do differently? That is what makes the difference from this kind of meeting. I tell you, if not, it would just be another place where you sit down and, you know, you clap at an amazing session. And then, and I'm saying this to any other person too who is also listening to the podcast, what will you do with what you have heard? It's not what you have heard that is making it different. Making it, it starts with that, but it's what you do. Actually, that's what is going to change you. That's the one that you are going to take out of here. All right. So I really want to say thank you so much, Jessica. God bless you. And thank you so much for giving us your time. I know we are like really way behind, and I'm so sorry. I want to apologize. We're supposed to wrap up like 9 o'clock, but I mean, so much of value being dished out, but no, we would do better with time management. So I want to say thank you so much, Jessica. I want to say thank you to every single person that has been a part of this meeting. God bless you. Jessica, I don't know if there's something you want to say to everyone.
Okay, so I'm going to just say this, and that's something that you've been reiterating while you were speaking. Knowledge is not gold. It is applied knowledge that is gold. And all that we have said tonight, and many more that is to be said, that wasn't also said, you know, would just go down the drain if there's no follow-up action to all that has been said tonight. So I'm encouraging every one of us. The journey to financial freedom is not an easy one, but it's one that is possible. And it's not also one that you go solo. Yes, you need to actually go with people, or go with an accountability partner at least, or go with someone that has gone through that road, you get, so that you don't fall into ditches that other people are falling into while they're on the road. It makes it easier and seamless for you while on that journey to financial freedom or financial success. So don't stop learning about your finances and how to be better with it. Practice all that you have learned, and you will learn, and I'll see you at the top.
Okay, thank you very much, Ma. Thank you very much. Without further delay, Jimo, please, can you wrap up with the closing prayer for us?
All right. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you for tonight's class. We adore you for your good, and we thank you even for our speaker who has really blessed us. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that even as we've learned, we ask you to help us to carry out these things speedily, and you help us to see speedy results. Lord Jesus, we know that a lot of these things have to do with our mind. Father, help us to reshape our mind and to reset our mind such that even our attitude towards money changes, and it is directly influenced by your will for our lives in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that even as Ms. Jessica has blessed us this evening, we ask, Lord, that you even bless her abundantly and cause our costs to be enlarged in Jesus' name. Even apart from this, Lord Jesus, even in the nearest future, Lord, that more and more engagements come, even according to your divine plan for her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for this community. And we pray that we'll continue to soar higher and higher. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you, Ma. Good night to us all.
Remember, transformation is in action. See you next time.